Yes, morning all. Monday, April 29, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Stacks of sport, naturally, to talk about today. Canberra, tough loss yesterday. They were well beaten by the Red Hot Sharks. 40-0 it was in Ricky Stewart's 500th match as an NRL coach. In the other game yesterday, good win for the Knights. Much needed win for them. 18-14 over the Dolphins. Gee, they nearly gave it away though, late in that match though yesterday, didn't they? The Swans, they beat Hawthorn. The Swans are flying. 76 points the margin at the MCG. Isaac Heaney, he is now the $4.50 favourite to win the Brownlow medal. Right in, well, it's double figures the rest. So he's certainly a big fancy there to take that home very early in the season, though. Still, the Suns beating the West Coast Eagles by 37 points on the Gold Coast. And in the golf yesterday, more than 90,000 over the course of the 3 days at the Grange Golf Club there in Adelaide. And didn't it have some finish there yesterday? Brendan Steele won individually. And it's always sort of, you know, I guess, been pondered whether the team format is really succeeding. Well, they got their first ever team playoff yesterday. Two players from each team, and it was the Aussie team, Ripper GC, and the team of South African Stinger GC. And they had to pick two players from each team, and it was thrilling to watch. At some stage, a bit testy as the crowd got involved and made their feelings known to a couple of the players, perhaps. And the crowd certainly helped get the Aussies over the line. They won on the second playoff hole. So Cam Smith and Mark Leishman beating Louis Oosthuizen and Dean Burmester. And to win the team's portion of the live event on home soil, sparking great scenes there on the 18th. And, well, the concert afterwards there at the Grange yesterday. So it was interesting. We were there, of course, on Friday. We'll chat about that this morning. Adam Pengilly covered the whole event. We'll speak to him later as well. Loz and Stewie are here. Boys, a very good morning to you. How are you, Stewie?
Morning, Mido. Morning, everybody. Oh, look, late call up again. I was on the bench there, just warming it nicely, getting the pine nice.
You're a good 14th man,
are you? Just a late call up. Like, oh, hang on, I've got to get up early. So, but a big weekend at Mighty Sharks. They were great yesterday. The Raiders battling. I think, got to say, you've got some young blokes in that team.
Some injuries.
I love watching the press conferences. I've turned to watching all of the press conferences with all the coaches after the matches. And you just get this, I don't know, sometimes you get a pretty good picture of what happened. And then sometimes you get just one coach blowing. It's almost captivating watching the press conferences. It must be the hardest thing to world and do, that interview post-match. If you win, you say all the good stuff. Oh, you know, played well and the boys were good and full credit to everyone. And if you lose, I don't know, it's just like, oh no, I've got to go and do this. 8 minutes of just sheer pain.
Morning, boys. Yeah, there's not much you can say after a loss like that yesterday. They were disappointing, the Raiders. They had plenty to play for, but unfortunately, they just didn't get it right. Sharks were very good. Sharks were terrific. They've gone back to the top of the table. So well done to them. I'm like you, Mido. I'm not a big golf fan, but I love live golf.
It was great, mate.
I loved it on Friday, and then I loved it yesterday. Mm. In fact, I had it on the TV yesterday, and I had the footy on the laptop, because I was so engaged in it at the end. I flicked it over, saw how it was developing, and I stayed with the golf rather than the footy. And I haven't done that for a long period of time. I saw the crowds there cheering and getting a bit out of control, so to speak.
Did you hear Dean Burmester to some bloke in the crowd? Shut the up.
Yeah. But as an event, it was as good as anything you'll go to.
And it was an event, wasn't it?
I mean, it's an event. It's not for your purist golfer. You know, if you love your golf and you love it very quiet out there on the course, well, it's not for you. Mm. But if you want something a little bit different and something into the new age and something that will bring youngsters to watch golf and be a part of golf and take an interest in golf moving forward, that's the future.
As I was standing there with you and the boys were with on the 12th there on Friday, just after play started, in my head I was like, the PGA Tour is in trouble. This is what people want. Well, for a sport like golf, where it's, you know, traditional light clapping, well, that was an event. Big food areas, concerts, you know, the music.
There was always something happening. There was something happening everywhere you went. Mm. They had interactive games. They had anything you wanted, you were able to get. And if you wanted to just follow the golf and be a golf nuffy, well, you could have done that.
You
could have just watched and walked around. But if you wanted to have a good time, there were holes where you could go and do that. Mm. If you wanted to sit out the back under an umbrella, watch it on the big screen, you could do that. It just catered for everyone. And I was blown away because I didn't know what to expect. But if that's the golf of the future, I can see it grabbing the attention of the younger people. And I think that'll get bigger next year.
Mm. Well, it appeared from my very naive perspective, just watching it on TV, it looked bigger this year than last year.
Yeah,
it does. People knew more about it too. Last year it sort of came to Australia and everyone was like, oh, what's this? This is all those blokes that have left the PGA Tour. This year it was, oh, hang on, that's LIV Golf. That was that event last year. And I knew people that were actually going down, but you hit the sort of nail on the head from a sport. You've got to be really careful. You just don't go, you die with the sport. The sport traditionally just doesn't die. And yes, there are the hardcore purists that'll turn around and say, you're kidding yourself.
There will be, for sure.
And that's fine. That's okay.
It's not for everyone. Yeah. I get that.
But it's certainly, it's captivating people, certainly in Australia. It's just a shame when you see those blokes playing, and there's some, you know, your Koepkas and your Johnsons and your Mickelsons, they're not competing with Scheffler on the PGA Tour. They've got to find, and they will find a solution, you'd assume, over time, but there'll be your traditional events, I think, Masters.
Yeah, yeah, you can still protect the majors.
There's four events that those blokes should be allowed to play.
And there's a couple of other, you know, the players, you can protect a few of them and say, look, these are going to be traditional tournaments, you're not going to have the... But you can also attract a whole new audience. You've just got to find a solution to that. And that's a really commercial solution, isn't it? That's about cash and money and TV and everything that goes in it. But the Mighty Shark, did you blokes meet the Shark?
We were close to him. We saw him
a few times.
Yeah,
we were about, 20 metres away from
not
him
even.
There once?
Yeah.
We saw him talking to the great Roger Rashid, actually.
Oh, you're right, okay.
It was two fit men just having a yarn.
Did you?
Roger was flexing.
Roger's shirt was three sizes too small again. But then the players seem quite accessible too. They seem a lot better than what you see on the PGA Tour, where they do their press match presser and they...
Well, they know. I don't know on a PGA Tour how they would have handled yesterday, like the crowd. And the other thing that struck me on the party hole, and I don't know whether they do this at Phoenix, the party hole there, like there's music from the time they walk out to the time they start to move on to the next tee. So
it doesn't stop
while you're having your shot.
Ah, right, okay. I don't know. I've seen the party hole at Phoenix. I don't know. I thought they stopped the music when they play their shots, but...
Well, at this event,
not at this event. Yeah, I'm right. not sure whether they do.
And then they're very loud and they cheer. But I think the golfers take it for what it is too. Definitely. That hole. So they're not blowing up about it and going, mate, calm down. And they embrace it and they encourage. And
they get their cash and they say, look, you've got to. I think part of the deal is you get your cash, right? And they're getting a heap of it. You've got to accept that we're doing things differently. And the players go, probably just goes to show how much they carry on about the noise and quiet, please. You know, if they can.
Well, there wasn't many bad shots. The ones that I saw, like they all landed them pretty close to the pin.
Oh, we were that close. Terrell Hatton was 3-4 inches from a hole in one when we were there early on day one. We were close to having Chase Koepka last year. But it was interesting because I played golf on Thursday up at a course in the hills in Adelaide. Group before us. All there from Perth. Group behind us, all there from Brisbane. So it's become a destination event for interstate. As long as you were speaking to people who were there from here, there and everywhere as well. So it will only get bigger and bigger because... And the thing is, we've got big names we never see as well in Australia playing golf. Yeah. So
exactly right. As I said, I was blown away. I thought it was unbelievable. It's an event. Not everyone will like it, but that's okay. Don't go. But if you want to see an event that's got the world's best golfers in it and you want to have a good time, then that is a terrific place to go. It's one of the best events I've been to. There you go.
And just on the golf, Craig from Tamworth says, correct, men, they do stop the music at the Phoenix Waste Management Open and some players try to get the crowd going while they hit their shots. So in regards to the party hole. And we'll speak to Adam Pigilia, covered the whole event. And on the back page of the Herald, golf louder and loutish. So I guess he'll fill us in on some of the stuff that probably made him roll his eyes as he's written a piece on what he saw over the course of the 3 days. And Adam's all for good fun, so it'll be interesting to get his take this article.
One of the things they may have to just... one of the poor old caddies got hit in the back of the head. Someone may need to do something about that. That can't keep happening. I was actually listening to... might have been some other radio show on the way in this morning. Imagine if the NRL and some bloke hurled a can out. Well, that was the old... Were you playing in that game where they hurled cans out onto the Lincoln?
No, that was before me.
If you did that now, you'd be marched out. You'd be in. Yeah. You'd get in the back of the van. You'd probably get yourself a $20,000 fine. You might spend some time in the big house. Leave golf. Nah, that's right. I need to sort that out.
It's funny with Aussies. Oh, I suppose it's everywhere, but especially between with us, we've all got that mate. There's a line. Can't do that, but there's always one.
There's always one.
They just can't help themselves. We'll speak to Pengilly later this morning. Also on the back page of the Herald, Mitchell may sit out Origin to focus on South season. Interesting. Latrell Mitchell, according to this report, considering making himself unavailable for New South Wales to prioritise Souths. He still has 1 week left of his suspension for that forearm on Sean Johnson. The report suggests he feels a debt to the Bunnies. He will have 3 games back, all going fine, injury, suspension, etc., before the New South Wales team is picked for game one. I might be a slight conspiracy theorist here. This is great PR from the Mitchell camp, I reckon, because how could he be picked at the moment? On reputation?
I don't think he would have been picked at all, going from on form and going off the back of the suspension. But he's got... if he was available, he'd have 4 weeks to get himself going and try and push his cause for selection. Where he stands at the moment, he wouldn't be in the frame. He wouldn't be in the frame for selection because there's others going better than him. But there's no doubt when Latrell is up playing his best football, he is one of the most devastating players in the game. But we haven't seen it this year. So Madge has made it quite clear that he wants players in form, but he also wants players with a clear head. And someone that's going to focus in on what he needs to do for New South Wales. And Latrell being out at the moment, that certainly won't help his cause. Only thing I have, and I know Jack did it last year, made himself unavailable. Got to be careful making yourself unavailable for representative teams because I don't want to see players pick and choose when they play. Because I think that sets a bad precedent because then clubs will start to put pressure on players to pull out of big games, and I know there's $30,000 bonus there, playing every game, and that's an attraction in itself. But
$30,000 a game, isn't it?
$30,000 a game.
Yeah.
But you're still, clubs are very persuasive if they've got players that say dead rubber happens.
That's where it's going to come in.
That's where you'll start to get
got a niggle,
a bit of force from clubs saying, mate, you're better off to rest this week because rest from Origin because the series is over. What do you got
you
to gain? We want you focused in on the football at the end of the season. So I can see some drama there. So I think we need to tread a little bit carefully about allowing players to pick and choose when they want to play rip footy.
It's a decision for Latrell, but you're right. That happens with the EPL and all the, when they've got to play for their country, you can see the pressure comes, And as much as they try to say no, you can go to play for your country. And the clubs are paying them the big bucks.
I get it.
And I understand. It's a commercial decision. And they want to win. You can't lose your best player. Mate, if Latrell makes himself unavailable, he makes himself unavailable. Was he going to get picked anyway? I think I'll defer to Laurie on that. I don't disagree.
Yeah. No, I think he's down the pecking order at the moment. I don't think he's a walk-up start to play State of Origin. I think that there's other centres in front of him. But again, who knows what will happen to some of those players. They may get injured. Latrell may come back, play in the centres, blitz it, and
still
all of a sudden...
We need him.
SOS call.
That's why you never write anyone in or write anyone out.
And also on the back page of the Herald, Coleman safe until after TARS year ends. We'll have Berkey on later this morning. And the Waratahs, another defeat. They're 2 wins, 7 losses for the Super Rugby Pacific season. And well done to the Waratahs women's side yesterday. They won the, or completed an unbeaten Super W season, 50-14. Their victory over the Fijiana Drua in the grand final at Ballymore. Gee, the Drua had their fly half sent off for stomping late in that match. It was an ugly incident there as well. Back page of the Daily Telegraph, Stewie Sharks, look at them. Hines shines bright. Ricky's 500th ruined. Sharks number 7 states his case for Origin is the headline there. And, of course, Braden Trindle unavailable. He's set to be suspended soon. And Buzz reported over the weekend in the Telegraph that he's off to rehab as well. Some treatment. Of course, Dale Finucane retired. Nico Hines, though, just dominant. Sione Katoa had a double there yesterday. And the Sharkies are top of the ladder in that. Well, what about the Denny Levi drop, Loz? That just summed it up for the Raiders, didn't it, yesterday?
Oh, there was another one too, James Schiller.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He dropped the ball. They could have had, you know, they were never going to win that game. Let's be honest. The Raiders were never going to win. The Sharks were way too good. But they could have put 2 or 3 tries on the Sharks and made it a bit more respectable. But the Sharks are playing some really good football. You know, they went into that game without Trindle. And they got away with it, 40-0. So that's a big result for the Sharkies. So well done to them. Ricky be scratching his head, wondering where it all went wrong for the Raiders yesterday. And I think, you know, with a young outside backs and, you know, losing their halfback last week, I think we might see some up and down results from the Raiders while Jamal's out. Mm. And if they couldn't afford to lose Jamal, he was their most experienced half in the club. And we see how much experience means in that position. They'll have to bounce back next week. They'll have to get a better account of themselves, because otherwise you can lose confidence pretty quickly in this game. It doesn't get any easier, though.
They've got Manly Friday night. At Brookie, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
That ain't going to be an easy
game. Yeah, but Manly got a couple of blokes. Well, could have a couple of blokes out.
Yeah.
Cherry Evans and Ola Kuatu. I mean, they'd be two big outs for Manly.
When do they have to make their decision,
Bob? That'll be by 12 o'clock today, whether they take the early plea on that dangerous throw.
Would you take it?
Sean Lane.
I would if I was him. The way they're cracking down on that type of stuff. That
I don't like those type of tackles. Mm. You know, I know we can get high tackles wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there can be some mitigating circumstances. I might tackle you low and you drop your height if you, you know, and someone comes in and collects you over the head. But the flipping tackle tackle.
As soon as you lift people.
You put him in a dangerous situation. But he landed on his shoulder, Lane, but it could have been terrible.
I was wondering whether, just watching it, whether Ola Kuatu will accept that DC will fight his. Because DC sort of pulls and then lets go. Whereas Ola Kuatu lifts.
There's a possibility of them doing that.
Yeah. I don't know whether they will or won't, but that otherwise, the way they've cracked down on those.
You're not going to get both of them off.
I wouldn't have thought so. So you just landed. It just looked
like. When you land like that, you're in the lap of the gods.
Yeah.
And he was lucky that he was able to walk away.
Yeah.
Okay, you know. And again, there's things in the game that you can't stop. But I think those type of tackles, you can. You don't have to go lifting and you don't have to start to.
Yeah, as soon as you pick them up off the ground.
Because
if you think there's someone hanging on at the top, right, wrap the ball up, as soon as you lift, that person will naturally pull you down because all the weight will come out of it. So their body weight's pulling you down. So you're going to flip them very quickly.
Back page of the Courier Mail, and there's Cam Smith relishing in Ripper GC's team victory at the LIV tournament yesterday. Captain Cam lives it up. Hungry for more. Kev demands informed Broncos take it up a gear. Is the headline on the back page there as well. They got the Roosters. That's a big game. Of course, they met round one, didn't they? The Vegas game. The Roosters and the Bronx. The
Roosters were too good. They defended really well that game over there in Vegas. They got some strike. The Brisbane Broncos.
Don't they, Loz?
They got some strike. The Roosters, though, I thought that was their best performance for a long while. But what do we make of the Dragons? But young Sam Walker, I thought he was terrific. He was the primary playmaker. And I think that suits him a lot more in this structure. Their forwards were very good. Oh, Spencer Lino's not back for this game, is he?
No, he's got one more next week.
Next week. Geez, that would have been another.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Interesting
really.
Scenario, wouldn't it, if he was making his comeback this week? Mm.
What about the what about the whole kickoff thing? Where do you stand on that?
Oh, I can understand why they'd have the debate, but I personally wouldn't like to see it changed. No.
The debate's going to rage on because guys keep.
Yeah, and you know what? In 10 years' time, I'll probably be wrong, because I think they will change it. I think there will be something done about.
How do you change it though? So it's sort of part of the game. I watch it and think, I know that sounds. It's part of the game. It's not part of the game getting knocked out, but I don't know. It's part of the reason you watch. I could never do it. It's part of the reason why I watch the game.
Well, I think once you start taking stuff out, so if you take the kickoff out, then do you start taking kick returns out?
Well, that's what I mean. Eh?
If people start to get concussed from them.
Yeah, where does it stop?
Because you're trying to get aggressive on players in a one-on-one situation. Yeah. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So if your focus doesn't need to go on a kickoff, your focus can then go to the player carrying the ball back from a kick return. Or if you start to see people putting bombs up, and the old, who was it, Mick Crocker on, I think it was on Snake, Brett Stewart in the grand final, where they just come through and just flatten you. You're going to then ban that type of tackle.
You're opening up a can of worms. I don't know. It's part of the reason, where would it end up? But certainly the debate will rage on. It's part of the reason I watch it. I don't want to see anyone get knocked out, by the way.
Well, you don't want to see a play the ball to start the game.
I don't
want to
see that. Oh.
Or a tap.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's embarrassing, seriously.
The boffins within the NRL will be looking at it thinking, hang on, that's... If you're putting I was listening to Wade Graham talk on another footy show. The whole game's risky, if you think about it.
Oh, most definitely.
You can get hurt at any stage, just...
Well, you know the biggest risk for all sports, and contact sports in particular, is concussion.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the biggest risk that all sports... In particular, contact sports face, and it'll be the biggest challenge moving forward, because there'll be cases that will happen where people will go to court, and if they win in court, what does it do for sport?
Well, it's one of the things that's never been tested in court yet, as in the American case is slightly different. They knew it was bad. They kept saying, that's why they bring them off.
Yeah.
No one's actually stood a case up in court. There's some going on at the moment, isn't there? I'm pretty sure there are a couple.
Over in England, there is.
Yeah, there's a couple going on at the moment. So they'll be landmark cases. Watch this space.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. 13:53:53 for your heroes and villains this morning. While the boys prepare theirs, just the Premier League overnight, North London Derby, Arsenal, big, big win at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as well. They've beaten Spurs, Ange's side going down 3-2 to the Gunners. Manchester City beat Nottingham Forest away as well, 2-0 in the other match overnight. Bournemouth 3-0 over Brighton. We'll have Mossy, of course, on later this morning, but now it all means Arsenal played 35 games on 80 points. Manchester City 34 games, 79 points. Liverpool, after a 2-2 draw with West Ham over the weekend, 35 games, 75 points. You'd have to say they're done. Mossy said so the other day anyway. But Tottenham, Ange's Tottenham, gee, they're in a real battle to get the fourth now. Aston Villa have played two games more than them. So Aston Villa, 35 games, 67 points. Tottenham, 33 games, 60 points. So two games in hand, 7 points back. Tottenham still have 5 matches to play in the Premier League. They have Chelsea on Friday morning, our time. And I'm sure that's at Stamford Bridge. Yes, it is. Chelsea Spurs, Friday morning, 4:30 our time, Eastern Standard Time. In the A-League yesterday, Sydney FC beat Perth Glory, who were clearly on their end-of-season Bali trip, 7-1. well, they lost, didn't they? I'm sure Melbourne City beat them 8-0 the week before. So,
yeah, you're right.
And Melbourne City, 1-0 over Western United, ensured they finish in the final spots. because on Saturday evening, the Western Sydney Wanderers eked out a 4-3 victory at Amy Park over the Melbourne Victory. But in the end, and we've still got the Premier's plate to be decided, that game Wednesday night between the Mariners and Adelaide, the Mariners just need a draw in that match to capture the Premier's plate. Wellington Phoenix are 1 point ahead of them, but the Mariners have a better goal difference. So that match Wednesday night. But certainly the first week of the finals, Melbourne Victory will play Melbourne City, so a Melbourne derby, and Sydney FC will play Macarthur in the 4v5 match. In the A-League Women's, because they had to decide the grand finalists with the second legs there yesterday, and the two favourites did get through. So Melbourne City 3-0 over the Jets. Sydney FC held to a 1-1 draw at Leichhardt on Saturday by the Central Coast Mariners, but it will be Sydney FC and Melbourne City through to the A-League W grand final there. Okay, Lozza, hero, villain, what have you got for us?
My villain happened on Thursday in the game between Souths and Melbourne. Tane Mill, the attempted tackle, well, can you call it a tackle on Cam Munster?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Where he just tacked the legs? Horrible. Yeah. We don't need that in our game. So that's the villain for the week. And my hero, I've got to say, my experience at LIV Golf. To be down there on Friday to watch, to see, and to enjoy it as much as I did, I never thought I'd enjoy it as much. And then even yesterday, I was watching it on television. I don't watch a lot of golf on television, but I did yesterday. I thought the whole thing was fantastic. It's not for everyone, but it's won a fan in me.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, I could easily go to the Sharks, but I'm going to go to the Swans. I think they're playing some. They're sort of flying a bit under the radar, in the sense that they're playing good footy at the moment. And Isaac Heaney, as you said earlier, Middo, absolutely flying. You know, Brownlow medal favourite, all the rest of it. So that's my hero. My villain is the buffoon, a bit like the LIV Golf. I love the LIV Golf, but the buffoon that thought throwing the full can at the...
Yeah, it was a water bottle. I think it hit Lucas Herbert's caddy.
Yeah, no, mate, like, seriously.
Yeah, horrendous.
I get it. Like, you're enjoying yourself and you've probably had a skinful, but come on, mate. Like, yeah. Use half a brain.
Yeah. Not even half.
Yeah, just use something. Don't want to take away from the event. I don't want it because it was a great event, but like, that sort of stuff's just dumb because someone can seriously get hurt.
Also yesterday in the AFL as well, the great Lance Franklin was presented to fans at halftime, saying he wanted to return to the MCG to thank all the Hawthorn fans as well, I guess. A nice touch considering, of course, Hawthorn playing the Swans. So Buddy was presented to the MCG there yesterday. Logan McDonald, though, he's, successor of... No one ever really succeeds a great like Lance Franklin, but Logan McDonald's doing a pretty good job. He kicked three there yesterday for the Swans as well. Geelong remain undefeated. They beat Carlton by 13 points Saturday night. So you've got Geelong, 28 points. The Swans and Giants, second and third, and they play this week. What a game that's going to be. Gee, the Q
Is that
club.
The SCG?
That, I'm just looking that up, Loz.
Canberra.
I think it's Canberra, yeah.
No, it's the SCG.
SCG.
It's 1:45 first bounce Saturday, Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, what a great time.
Yep, second v third.
The SCG will be rocking.
Huge
be
game.
People, yeah. Mate, hard to get a ticket. Get your tickets now if there are any left.
Gee, it's the big rivalry round. You've got Thursday night, you've got the showdown in Adelaide. Friday night, Carlton-Collingwood. There's the Q clash as well, I'm sure. And the Lions... Yeah, that game's Sunday night at the Gabba. The Lions in big, big trouble. And the Gold Coast Suns won yesterday. They took a while to kick away from West Coast, 37 points the margin. But, gee, if the Lions lose this, they are just about stuffed. They're going awful. So that's a huge game Sunday night in the AFL as well. Okay, we've got on the line, we've got Paul. G'day, Paul. How are you?
G'day, guys. How's it going? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, mate. What have you got for us?
Heroes and villains. I'm going to go with a player. He's been for 2 or 3 weeks. He's been out, but he came back for the Roosters on the Anzac Day. Sam Walker, he played absolutely brilliant. His kicking game, his defence, and his individual brilliance was sensational. And with Cherry Evans will eventually retire from Queensland, I guarantee he will slide into that side. What do you guys think?
I've got no doubt that he's probably the next in line after Terry Evans, and his performance the other day, in particular his short kicking game, just impressed me so much. It reminded me of Alan Langer when he was at his best, just dinking it in behind the line, either regaining it himself or setting someone up for a try. Or it was remarkable. And to come back the way he has and to take ownership of that team, and I think that's the blueprint moving forward for the Roosters, because they've got a number of good players, but I have been unsure of what their best fit is and how do they fit everyone into that team. But the other day it was obvious that they let Sam become the dominant playmaker. And I think if they keep allowing him to do that, obviously it'll fast track him, but it just suits his game where he can play a little bit more. Mm. And be a bit more flexible in what he does. There was one stage there that he actually jumped in front of Keary and took over got the ball off him. And I thought, oh, that's a good sign of a young half now maturing and taking a bit of ownership and saying to the older fella, no, it's my turn. It's my turn now.
Push on, yeah. Out of the way.
Yeah.
What about your villain, Paul?
I'm a Parramatta supporter, very disappointed what happened, but what Subo did in that game, Penasini just came back on the field. We're down to 12 players, we got back to 13 players, and when we got back to being 20-18 back in the game, and then Subo did that stupid tackle and put the elbows, got Sidman in. You know what normally happens once a team loses one player, they put on the points, so he's left in my view, unfortunately.
Yeah, fair call. That was, I mean, patience would have to be wearing thin. Considering how often he is sanctioned, Mike Acebo. $3,000 fine he got for that. That was sort of the forearm massage, wasn't it? Was it Garrick? In that game? Yeah, I think it was Garrick.
Silly.
And he was
Sidby. And it was dumb. And Brad Arthur said so after the game. They competed really hard.
Just got overrun late, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But it makes it difficult when they had Penasini sin-binned and then they had Acebo sin-binned. But I thought they actually tried hard, and I know you don't get 2 points for trying hard. You've got to come away with a W, but I think from the previous performance against Redcliffe, going to Manly, they were a different team. They competed hard. You could see some fight. So I wouldn't be giving up on Parra just yet.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Morning, Helen.
Good morning, boys, and hello to the stand-in Clarkie. my hero is Sam Walker. How can you go past a young man's performance? He was just amazing all over the whole park all day. And he's had some pretty handy coaches to teach him how to play footy. Uncles and his dad, of course. But I couldn't fault him. He was just outstanding. And for someone that's, I think he's just turned 21 or 22, to lead the Roosters around the park the way he did, he was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. My villain is Tane Milne for the late hit on Cam Munster on Thursday night. To get 2 weeks, he should have been given at least 4, I think. So it was pretty bad. But I had to laugh at Joe Chan. Joe Chan sort of got his head into the ground and sort of, you know, don't do that to my Cam. So it was quite funny seeing his reaction. They're my heroes and villains for this week.
Love it, Helen.
Love it as well. You'd be happy with the Storm, Helen, wouldn't you, the way they're going at the moment?
No. We let South in with too many tries in that 15-minute period.
Just your hard marker.
Oh, look, you know, I'm a friend of the coaches, so I've got to keep on side with him. But look, you know, they're doing so well, and you know the Sharkies yesterday. I'm sorry, Loz, to spoil Ricky's 500th.
Yeah.
But, and also just a shout out to all the game day coordinators and everyone that took part in getting the Anzac Day ceremonies for every game across the board. Outstanding as always. The NRL do Anzac Day so well.
Very true. Great stuff, Helen. Appreciate the call as always. We've got Shane. G'day, Shane.
G'day, boys. How you going today?
Very well, mate. How's...
G'day. Did you watch any of the draft?
I watched quite a bit of the draft, actually. Yeah, I did.
I tuned over and watched Pat McAfee's version with Bill Belichick doing the rundown of all the players. I've never heard Belichick talk so much in my life, and he gave a really good insight into all the draft players. He's going to be appearing on his show every Monday from now on, and I think he's probably found his career in the media. He's not going to go back to coaching. But
how'd your Bears fare?
I mean, we got Caleb, and we've got that young Aussie punter, and another wide receiver, and a few other bits and pieces. But I think the Steelers, I mean, they got some real bargains, a great center, a great linebacker. But 12 million people watched the draft, and 700,000 people downtown Detroit over 3 days. 700,000 people. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Not much else to do there, though, is it? Detroit.
Oh, but the scale of that sport, that says it all. 12 million people watched the commissioner read out 32 names.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Seriously, that's how big that sport is. They do a good production, though.
Like, even someone that's not particularly, I was watching the production just to, I didn't know any of these players, but I'm sitting there going, they interview them, they talk about them, they give them their background. You go, well, all right, that's pretty good.
Do you want to know how desperate we were?
Yeah, we were waiting for the golf to start.
So we sat in this room on a phone. Middo's got a bet for the second pick in the draft.
Yeah, it got up.
So we had a cheer about, what, 10:30? 10:30, we're up and about. But that's, we were gathered around this little phone and people were looking at us going, what are these blokes doing?
What are these two morons doing watching a draft?
Oh, no, there wasn't two. There was about five of us.
And keep an eye out too, Shane. It's on the back pages of the papers today as well. A bloke who played for Scots Rugby in Sydney was a bit of a schoolboy sensation. Thomas Yasmin, he's been picked up undrafted by the Denver Broncos, and he's been playing tight end at the University of Utah. And he's a specimen, one to watch. He could genuinely get...
He knocked back an NRL contract with Manly.
He did. He did.
Yes.
Yep. He could genuinely get playing games this season. So
I'll have to break down. You know, I mean, I'm still... And it's going to take me the next week with the NHL and all the draft. But look, my heroes, boys, are the Titans last week. What a gutsy effort to go over to New Zealand and just ruin their day. It was fantastic. My villains is the Warriors. Mate, we knew this was going to happen. They were going to fall off the cliff. They're a myth. They're a dead set myth.
You've gone
and
early.
And to think Bulldog Richie... once another team in New Zealand. What a joke. They can't even get this. Mate, if they play like this next week, Newcastle will towel them up. They're a myth. They always have been. But I see, boys.
Good idea, Shane.
I'll take your bet next week, Shane. I'll take the Warriors.
Lots of texts here. Morning, men, heroes and villains. Hero, Nashra Willer, for his efforts on Saturday. Nice little fill-up. Villain is Sivo. Complete brain explosion. Cost para whatever chance they had, says the Dubbo Eel. Hero.
What about this one?
Samuela Fainu for putting on a tackling clinic for the kiddies in the sold-out crowd.
That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
He just totally lost focus on what was happening. Didn't he just thought it was a kick. He'd forgotten the rule. Corey Oates was just looking to restart, just got getting up to take the tap on the 20, and he's tackling.
What about Benji's reaction in the coach's box too? Just,
it was like tackling practice. It was like they were going through a drill.
There was another thing on the weekend I saw, and I actually said to myself, how could someone be so silly? I think it was Tane Mill, that one, and there was another one. There was another incident on the weekend where you just go, they've just lost the plot. Like, they've just totally forgot about rules. Like, you know where there's ways during a game where you go, oh, well.
You play on the edges, right?
But that was just a brain fade. It was just totally
and
lost.
And the referee has no other option, right? The referee, he just went, 10, see ya. And it was almost like, oh, what's going on? He just completely forgot. Either that or he wasn't watching.
No.
Yeah.
Well, imagine if you had 13 blokes like that that have a brain fade in them. Like, you wouldn't be winning too many games. Your discipline would be poor.
Oh, mate, poor old Ricky. Imagine Ricky had that. What would Ricky have done? He would have blown up.
But mate, I think to be fair with Rick yesterday, I think he'd be okay with those young blokes. It's going to take a bit of time.
He was quite reserved in the press.
I think he'd be more disappointed with some of his senior players than the young blokes.
And Tiger Marty had Fainu as his villain, naturally, as well. Hero for putting on the clinic for the kids, textbook tackle, and villain for not realising what he'd done and not knowing the rules and costing a sin bin for himself and the Tigers. Luke from Liverpool on the line. G'day, Luke.
Hey, on, boys. I'm not from Liverpool.
Oh, that's sorry. That's it says dog. That. Sorry, Luke. I'm reading what's in here. Anyway, go for it.
I'll start with my villains, mate, because you'll probably agree with this strongly. Mido is Liverpool FC. Now our season's just going down the gurgler. To lose to Everton 2-0 on Thursday, like, terrible way to start the weekend. And then, yeah, West Ham as well. But, you know, the nail was kind of in the coffin when we lost to our old bloody bogey team, Crystal Palace as well.
Just
the Mo Salah and, you know, where he carries on if he doesn't start and things like that. Like, I think we're in for troubled few years ahead, unfortunately, when Klopp leaves.
Yeah, sadly agree with you, and I'm seeing that more and more reports say that Arne Slot, the 45-year-old Dutchman, the current manager of Feyenoord, is on the verge of succeeding Klopp at Liverpool, which, yeah, I mean, it's a great unknown, really. Managing Feyenoord and managing Liverpool, two different kettles of fish, but we'll see how that all transpires. But, yeah, it's been disappointing, Luke.
I feel sorry for him coming in after Klopp, mate. Trying to replicate something like that. It's like trying to follow Wayne Bennett in the footy. But
it'll be tough.
Yeah, and Hero again is same as you guys, is the live golf. I was the same as you. Laurie had the bloody golf on over the footy over Miss Swans in that yesterday. So yeah, I just can't wait to see more of that in Australia and, you know, more of a golf around the world, I suppose. Like you said, I won't watch golf as a priority, but I did it over this weekend, so yeah. Just thought they did it really well, and you can see that's going to be the future of golf going forward, because better than that boring old stuff we used to watch.
we're certainly nodding in agreement here. So, no, mate, appreciate the call. Thank you. Go for it, Chewy.
Was there not a buyout between Mo Salah and Jurgen Klopp? Did I not read that article? And then Jurgen's tried to come out and calm it all down. Mm. Klopp's coming, oh, no, it's all good. And then Mo Salah said, oh, I'm breathing fire. That's not going to end well. That can't possibly. Well, he's going anyway. Klopp's so going. It's going. Yeah. So it's not going to.
No, I think there's going to be quite a few changes.
It'd be hard. That'd be a hard gig as a manager of football teams, because some big personalities. We talk about it in rugby league a lot. You know, blokes getting paid a lot and managing. Well, those blokes are getting paid a lot, and then to come in and try and manage all of that.
Yeah.
That would be a really hard gig. Try and make that work. No matter who takes over, it's a bit like following Ferguson or Bennett or whoever. Like, he's done a great job there.
More texts. Heroes are the Warriors. Under 17, Harold Matt's team and coaching staff. First year in the comp, win the premiership. 34-16 over the Magpies, who were previously undefeated. Big effort. Villain Mike Acevo, brain snap. Cheers, boys. Tommy from Cessnock. Hero of my nights. Gutsy effort yesterday. No one gave us a chance. Villain is Foxy Cleopatra. Needs a benchmark 58 at Tamworth. No name to that one. But that hurts. Hurts the connections.
It does hurt the connections, Mido. Yeah, just got too far back. Ran on well, but I'm sick of saying that.
You've said it once or twice, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly right. But yeah, no, she probably does. She probably just needs to find her own level. And we've been racing in good grades, so probably needs to drop back a couple of grades and see where she's at.
Welcome back, your heroes and villains. Keep them coming. 13:53:53. Heroes with the AFL and the NRL for the way they embrace the Anzac spirit. Special mention to the young lady on the bugle at both Roosters and Manly's games. Perfect. Villain judiciary. I know the lane tackle was not a good look. Surely for both players on the first offence to get 2 weeks is harsh. It was an accident. Compare Sivo. Third offence and a deliberate act with intent, 0 weeks. How is that fair? Says Wolf of Mackay. Jason from Bowen Park, where I grew up. Good on you, Jason. Heroes Manly for beating Parramatta. Villain is the Canberra Raiders. And Gail from Lakewood. Hero, Anzac Day celebration. Sam Walker for the Roosters. Villain is Four Pines Park game, Friday night, with the singing and drum playing. It was very hard to hear the commentary. I had to turn it off. I was getting a headache, says Gail from Lakewood.
Ah, Gail, come on. Couldn't be that bad.
I didn't see it. I was flying home from Adelaide. So I'll take your word for it. Chiphead says, my villain is the Manly DJ. Okay, so here we go. There's a bit of a theme here. At Four Pines, kept playing music at every opportunity during the match. So much so, you struggle to hear the broadcasters speak. Jono, you weren't there doing the DJing at Four Pines the other night.
Back let's get Jono on. Let's interview Jono just to see what he thinks of this DJ.
Back to the glory years.
Jono, what do you reckon? Too much music, too much interaction. Come on, Jono.
Has he still come on, Jono?
Yeah,
back
he
in,
does.
Back in the glory years, he used to come on all the time. Couldn't get him off the microphone.
Oh, mate. Bulldog bagged him.
Oh.
Hello, boys. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, flick the right switch.
Yeah, did you watch the game on Friday night?
I did, yeah.
What do you think of the DJ?
Look, they can't win there. The speakers are all over the place. They're too loud on the hill. They're way louder in the grandstand. They can't win.
Nah.
I feel for them. They can't win.
I'll tell you what they are doing, Will. They're getting decent crowds.
They are. I think the last three games have been sellouts.
Yeah.
Last home games. Yeah, which is fantastic.
Good atmosphere, but it's never been the same since Jono left. You've got my support, Jono.
I did tell them they couldn't win a comp once I left. I'm still right.
He's not overly dark about leaving either, is he, Jono?
He's more filthy about bulldog bagging him.
Well, this poor DJ is probably just doing what he's told as well, isn't he?
That's exactly right.
And Chiphead goes on to say he's hero, and he continues to impress him every time he speaks. His Collingwood captain Darcy Moore for his Anzac Day speech after the match. He's an impressive leader for his team in the AFL. Good on you, Chiphead. And yeah, he's pretty impressive, isn't he, the Collingwood captain? Alex, good morning. How are you?
Morning, boys. How are we?
Not too bad, thanks, mate. What have you got for us?
Heroes and villains. Hero is Trevor Stewart. For what he's been able to do the last couple of weeks. He's been in the wars, but for a young kid, he's doing well. Villain is the inconsistency in the game. I know we've spoken about this a million times, but they were stamping down on pressure on the kicker, yet this week and last week, no penalties. I just don't understand how... I feel sorry for Josh Alloway because... that ended up deciding a game. And then the following week, we had a couple of them and nothing. What's the go there?
Geez, you'll have to refresh my memory. Are you talking about in general play, Alex?
Just in general play. Like, if they're going to stamp down on it, I'm all for it. No problem. But there's been a couple, I can't remember which game it was, and the commentators made that point that how wasn't that a penalty?
Yeah.
And they kept referring back to the Josh Alloway one.
Ah, right.
It's just in everything, the inconsistency week in, week out. Like, you'll see players suspended one week, and then the following week, the same things will happen, and then nothing will happen, and leaves people scratching their heads a bit.
Yeah, well, that's one thing we're always striving for, is to have that consistency with the referees' performances and the way that they judge certain things. I must say, I agree with you on some things in the game that you go... geez, she gave away a penalty when that happened 10 minutes ago and now you're letting it play on. Like, you just want to see it be the same for the whole 80 minutes, but we know that that's not possible at times, is it?
Because
it's subjective.
Yeah, and what you see and what I see sometimes... oh, look, I think everyone would... I don't disagree if everyone wants... if you had just complete consent, it'd be great, because then... you've got a human making decisions. And something happens in the play of the ball, and if the referee's not exactly watching at that time and turns to look at the defensive line to make sure they're onside or something's going on over there or something's in his ear, he's going to miss it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or she's going to miss it.
Yeah.
It's not her fault. She's just doing what she's doing. So I don't know how you make it better. Alex, I'm not sure. Got any solutions?
Yeah. Mm.
I don't. I think it's just...
it's frustration, isn't it?
Like I said, if they come out and go, right, we're going to stop that. Like the tackle on Sean Lane on Friday, they're going to be very lucky to get off that if they do fight it, based on what I've seen in previous instances in years.
Yeah, I don't like that type of tackle where players end up in that position. It's too dangerous.
That's too dangerous for me.
Yeah, I think they have to be strong on those tackles. And sometimes they do get it wrong because they lift and they come down, they land on their back a touch, but I'm more... I'd rather that be penalised, so we try and stamp it out than allow one to go through to the keeper and someone gets injured with it.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Good on you, Alex.
Thanks,
appreciate
boys.
The call. Just on the text, heroes were both footy codes for their Anzac Day tributes as they get better each year. Villain is the person who said the sexy one, Fox of Cleopatra, needs a benchmark 68 at Tamworth. She would get balloted out here and would be better suited at Kirrindyre, says Craig from Tamworth. So, oh, geez. It's a sledge, Loz.
Oh, it is a sledge. Oh, look, you've got to cop it. You've got to be able to cop it. That's why I didn't put her in the multi, and the multi was no good. Although Waterford won.
Waterford won. What was your other leg again? I forgot.
It was in Green Shadows.
Yeah.
In race three.
In my head, I thought it was Cigar Flick top two and a finished
second.
No, that second.
Was Ali, I think, tipped Cigar.
Ah, she did too. Flick. Okay. Right, that's what it was.
Yeah. Is it time for Foxy to pull up stumps? Is it, are we at that stage yet?
No.
No, she's having a spell, though. She's going to go for another
it's
spell.
It's not time to...
She needs to find her level.
Yeah. That's all it is, Stuart.
it could be time.
I'm not hearing
a lot of positives.
She's only four.
Yeah, it's early days. She might take a quantum leap.
Just never know, mate.
All right.
Just comes out, finds a rhythm.
Somehow. Anyway.
Right, yeah.
Don't give up.
All right.
Wayne, good morning. How are you?
Morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, mate. Hero and villain?
Oh, there's only one hero this weekend, and that's both Football Codes and Australia for the respect they showed everyone that served in the wars and that. And the villain's got to be the bunker. If that bloke never scored that try the other night, I'm not here. I think it was Carousel, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous, Loz.
What an absolute joke.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Isn't the terminology they use, you have to re-grip the ball?
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
Try.
It comes out, but then his hand goes back on it, and there's no separation. He looks like he's got control over it. But
very hard to grip the ball. If you haven't got big hands, how are you supposed to grip the ball again?
Well, I don't know whether I could grip the ball.
Yeah.
You got people betting on it and that too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they're not worried about people that are betting on the game. They're more focused on getting the right decision. And the way that the laws are written, and again, I could be wrong.
Interpreted, yeah.
I think they got it right. We always talk about discretion.
Yeah. They slow it down. Yeah. And if it wasn't a slow motion replay, you'd say try.
I try every day of the week.
Yeah, but when you slow it down, you see the ball in his hand, there's a gap there.
Yeah.
He doesn't re-grip it. Look, they interpret it the way they always interpret it. That's happened a few times now. I don't particularly like it, to be honest with you. I still think it was a try, my personal humble opinion. But, yeah, the bunker doesn't interpret it that way anymore.
Wayne, you didn't have any Appy Coruscant with any time try scorer in a same game multi by any chance, did you?
No, I didn't have a bet, but... I just thought it was a bloody joke. That was all.
No, I'm with you. I hate it. It's just, you know, slow it down. Find a way to take the, you know. We just seem to do this so often. You just look at tries and you think, well, that's a try. Mm-hmm. And then the forensic analysis, you just find something in the rule book.
But if
it happens two tackles earlier, nothing's done about it. Not in this instance, but in other instances.
How's he meant to regrip the ball if he can't hold on to the ball, though? That's the bit that I'm confused about.
Say that against you?
How does he... He's got to re-grip the ball. That's the way it's interpreted. Yeah. If he can't grip the ball, if he can't just walk to the ground and pick the ball up, it means he can't re-grip the ball, can he?
Oh, right. Yeah, so it's impossible for him
to
re-grip it when he loses
control. So his hand needs to stay on the ball. His hand needs to stay on the ball.
Yeah.
But even if his hand's on the ball, he's not gripping it. His hand's just staying on the ball.
Yeah.
So it's a bit counterintuitive to some extent. Because he can't grip the ball, and that's the standard that we've got to go back to. I don't know. I'm making things up, to be fair, but surely that was a try. It looked like a try on TV until they slowed it down to the last 100th
degree. Hero James McDonald, romantic warrior in Hong Kong yesterday. Yes, won that race there last night. The amount of kilometres and flights J-Mac does, Sydney to Adelaide on Saturday, then Hong Kong on Sunday. Next level. Villain, the A-League in general, crowd numbers in cities other than Sydney and Melbourne. Worst thing they ever did was move away from Fox Sports, never see it on in the pub, no publicity as well. Todd from Brisbane making his feelings known there. Villain, the MRC for the charges against Olakau'atu and DCE, ridiculous, says Craig from Newey. Hero, Live Golf and the Aussie lads. Leave pass secured already for next year. Love the show. Good on you, Craig. Yeah,
I'd love to see how many people actually watched it over the weekend, Middo, Live Golf.
Mm.
And people that really didn't know a lot about Live Golf, weren't supporters of Live Golf, but if they watched it and what they thought of it as an event. In not so much the golf, but the event, because I think that's what it is. If you're going to get your golf fix, you can still get that there, but it's not like going to a tournament overseas on the PGA Tour where it's all nice and calm. And
Australian Open's the same thing. You go, if you ever go out there, it's very light clapping, and it's that. You're right. It's an event.
Yeah, but I was actually engaged because I just didn't know how an event would work on a golf course.
See, and you're probably a good example of the market. Because you're not an avid golf fan, but you went, oh, that's good. I would
tell everyone to put it on their bucket list to go and do it.
You're the prime market, and you and kids, like, get kids involved in the game. It's a bit like footy, like any sport. You know, Big Bash, no different. Trying to get kids involved in the game so they actually go, oh, geez, I want to follow that. Mm. Live golf, absolutely the same thing. I want to play golf because I like what I saw on TV, or I was down in Adelaide, I saw that.
Saw this over the weekend. Claire from the Gold Coast has pointed out the Melbourne Inga Cup game. Burley Bears beat the Wide Bay Bulls 130-0. 130-0. Jeez, that was at the Gold Coast on Saturday.
And that wouldn't be over 80 minutes either. I wouldn't have thought. It'd be, 35 minutes?
That means the other team, you just kick off, they get the ball, they score, kick off, get the ball.
I remember a bloke telling me one day they played a final and... they're playing a red-hot side. They were undefeated and had beaten everyone by plenty during the year. He said, we knew we were in trouble in the first minute when they scored under the post and they declined the kick.
That's right.
He said, we were up before the game and then they scored and we're still up waiting for the kick and then they declined it. The body language was poor.
Just kick
he said,
back.
We ended up getting beaten by about 70.
Just kick it back. We'll score again.
It's actually quite smart from that team. It mentally just destroy them from right at the start. And a bit of a sledge here between mates. Boys, you want a villain? Brett from Penrith did nothing at cricket all year, as you boys have previously read out. And then end of season day punt on at the races. End of season day out at the races, did nothing on the punt, didn't pick a winner all day. Boys carried him again, got him some money. Be better, Brett. Our heroes, the Doggies, top eight, says JB from Gledswood Hills, sending that one through, sledging his mate. Adam Pegilly from the Sydney Morning Herald, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Meadow. Morning, boys.
Well, let's start with what we saw on the course there yesterday. And, Brent, we'll start with the Australians in the teams contest. And if you want to sort of give the team's situation a bit of, I guess, credence, then get it to a playoff. Get the players from where the tournament's being played, Australia, up against a team from South Africa. Gee, it was great theatre there at the end, though.
Yeah, it was captivating viewing, Mido. And Liv, I think, to be fair, have staked so much of their future on this team's concept working. And in almost 2 years of the concept being up and running, they actually haven't had a team's playoff yet. So I think they've been overdue to have one, and they certainly got the theatre that I wanted yesterday. And some of those scenes yesterday, Mido, with the crowds following Cameron Smith and Mark Leishman, who played for the All-Australian Ripper GC team against the South Africans, was just fantastic, watching the crowd swarm the 18th fairway and follow those groups up. And that obviously had to clear them all again because they need to go to extra holes. So the crowd control was quite difficult there yesterday, but they did a great job. And yeah, it certainly was captivating viewing. Say what you like about Liv, but watching that playoff yesterday, you were tuned in, you're engaged, and you're watching what's going on. And you could see the players getting nervous as well, right? So they obviously felt like there was something on the line there. And then to see the Australians win on the second extra hole when, really, they had no right to win it on the first extra hole. They were dead and buried on that first extra hole and somehow survived.
Couldn't believe they got out of it.
No, it was incredible, wasn't it, Mido? Like, both Louis Oosthuizen and Dean Burmester both had very, very markable birdie putts, both missed them. And somehow Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith got up and down from tricky spots to force a second extra hole. You sort of just knew that from that stage on, it was probably going to be fate that they'd win. And the boys, after the tournament finished there yesterday, were talking about the energy and the atmosphere out on the course. And Cameron Smith almost said that, yesterday almost vindicated a lot of reasons why he went to Liv. Just to play a home tournament in his own country with so many people out on the course watching the event and following it. It was fantastic theatre there yesterday.
Can I make one suggestion that the team names are dreadful?
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say that too.
Ripper GC, Ironheads. Come on.
So where's don't forget
the range goats.
The range goats. What's that? Can we? I don't know. Greg,
what, the raincoats?
Can we get the shark? Can we get the shark to come up? Get a marketing person. Get a marketing company. Come up with some proper names. Come on,
range goats.
Range goats.
Yeah.
I know we laughed, Stewie, but like in the fair dinkums department, I reckon that's one of the reasons for before he was held the team concept back a little bit is some of the names that have been given to these franchises and. They're a little bit better than what they were in the first year. There were some shocking names in the first year, and a couple of the teams changed their names for the second season this year. But still, I do take your point completely, and that's why people, in some respects, have probably poked a little bit of fun at it, is because some of the names, and think, what the hell is this all about? I personally would love to see them named along country lines. You're not going to get that, obviously, because not every team's going to have players from the same country or nationality, but imagine if you were calling that Australia v South Africa yesterday as the proper team names or whatever. I think that would give it a little bit more credence. But certainly yesterday was a massive step forward for the team's concept for what Liv wants to stake its future on.
Yeah, I must say, Adam, as a non-traditionalist golfer, I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic theatre, and it's an event. I know it's not for everyone, and I know if you're a pure golfing fan, you mightn't like it. But for me, and I reckon a number of other people, and in particular young people, they like it. And I think it just suits Adelaide so well. But can it have the same effect in other countries?
Yeah, good question, Loz. It certainly struggled to get the same traction in other countries. What I will say is I think it's doing a lot better outside of America than what it is doing inside of the United States, because you've got places like Australia who have been starved of top-line professional golf for virtually a whole generation, really. We haven't had sensational players coming down to these shores on a regular basis. I think it's done well in Hong Kong in the event it had a little bit earlier this year. It's going to Singapore this week. I expect that to be a relatively successful event, albeit nowhere near the scale of Adelaide. And we've seen in the past, last year, had some great crowds in Spain as well. So taking it to places outside of the States that haven't had that regular feast of great golf is going to work, but they've still got to try and work overtime to try and get a bit of a foothold or a toehold in the American market. And you guys are obviously on course on Friday. Like the energy and the atmosphere and the electricity on that course is just phenomenal. It's fantastic to watch. It is so good to see. And they lean so much into the watering hole or the party hole, which is great. The loud music, people socialising. Like, it's a really great vibe. And I sort of wrote in the Herald today, there's only one thing I don't like about it, is that people throwing stuff.
Yeah.
I can't cop people throwing bottles and cups and whatever else. I might be an old man yelling at clouds here, but clearly it went beyond a point there on Saturday evening when Lucas Herbert's caddy got drilled by a full water bottle. They were not good scenes at all. I don't think Liv were particularly happy with them either, obviously. I think we just got to rein in a little bit on that party if I was throwing his stuff. But apart from that, Loz, you did make a very good point about the amount of kids that are on course. I walked the course, obviously, for the last 2 or 3 days, and there's a ton of kids out there enjoying the sport, which is great to see. They're the future of our game.
Yep. Can I ask you, I don't like that throwing of the drink bottle either. I think that needs to be banned, or if anyone does that, booted.
Yeah.
How was it received on the playoff hole when the South Africans were like putting and the booing and yelling? Is that just accepted on this sort of event?
Yeah, I asked the Australian boys in the actual post-tournament press conference about that, and I think they were okay with it, obviously, given they were the home team and they had all the support. And Mike Leishman made the comment saying, well, if we ever go to South Africa and win a playoff with the Stingers, they can do whatever they like to us, given the way the crowd treated them yesterday. Oh, listen, Loz, I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it, to be honest, because, you see in the Ryder Cup when the United States plays Europe, it's very parochial and along similar lines. You'll have guys sort of razzing up the opposition players when they're about to tee off. And yesterday, it was loud, it was boisterous. There was Bronx cheers every time the South Africans are playing, chips or putting around the greens. I think they accepted it. They knew what it was like.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too, but I just didn't know what they would think of it. That was all.
Well, I think the fact that we had the South Africans in the playoff, Loz, and those guys are fantastic guys. They're probably the closest we've sort of got to Australians in terms of personality and acceptance of the crowds and whatever else.
Yep.
I think it was okay. Now, if that was someone else from an American or something like that,
how would have Phil copped it?
That's right. If it was Phil, it might have been a little bit of a different reaction. I don't know. But you could see that Lou Oosthuizen and Dean Burmester were taking it all in their stride. So it was all good fun and games. They played up to it a little bit as well. Yeah. So, it was just great theatre yesterday.
Well, nearly 100,000 people, too, turned up for the 3 days. So that says a lot, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there was certainly a lot more people there this year, Loz, than last year. They increased the capacity, and to get close to 100,000 people over 3 days, it's great because people are coming to watch golf in Australia. Now, I know a lot of people there for the party as well and concerts and whatever else, but, you know, just to watch all those people come into the course, it's just created a fantastic vibe throughout the whole course of the weekend.
Certainly did. Now, mate, more importantly than LIV Golf, my Sharks, they tailed up Canberra yesterday, but how do you have them? Do you see them taking on the likes of Penrith and Brisbane just yet?
Oh, maybe not quite yet, Stewie, but as each week goes by, they're becoming more and more legitimate, you'd have to think. I must admit, I didn't catch a whole lot of that game yesterday. I just saw a few little highlights. And don't underestimate what that occasion meant for Canberra yesterday as well, given it was Ricky Stewart's 500th game coaching in the NRL. So for the Sharks to come out and put a cricket score on virtually showed that they're potentially the real deal this year. And as we've discussed in this program before, guys, it's so crucial to get your season set up in the first 6 to 8 weeks. The Sharks have done that now. Craig Fitzgibbon's got a few extra wins in the bank that he can sort of help starting to plan throughout this mid-course of the season heading towards the finals. And they'll be there, judging by everything they've shown so far. And if they can keep that forward pack, you know, keep rotating those guys and be nice and brutal and quick in the middle there, they've got the backs and the class and the halves and the backs to cause some real damage. So, yeah, I'm with you, Stewie. They look like a real deal at this stage. And if they can get a top four finish at the end of the year, who knows what can happen.
Thank you, mate.
Catch you tomorrow. Go back to bed.